I'm Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly. You're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff. This week, we're going to take a deep dive into friendships.
Friendships. Something I feel very passionate about.
Yeah. It's been a thing. It's so we're going to talk what it means to be a friend, breakups, yeah, fluidity of friendships, rites of passage. Oh, the Kate and Jen story.
For cute. We have a story. Do you think it will be on Lifetime movies?
Ooh.
Lifetime TV for women?
Ooh, and then we have to talk about who would play everybody.
Oh, I got me. Who'd play you?
Who would play you? What?
Judith Light.
Oh. Then if we're going in that age range,
yeah,
Stockard Channing.
Oh, that's great. That would be, I love it. I love all of it.
That would be a hit, is what you're thinking, yep, and saying.
The untold story.
So friendships, especially friendships between women.
Yes.
How they can be so, so good and so, so, so bad.
I think you need to have a good group of gals. Here's the thing. If you're a woman.
And you don't have
some girlfriends, I feel like that's a little bit of a red flag.
You need to have a couple it doesn't have to be bunches.
Right.
But it has to be like one friend who's also ABC, is a mom, has the same job as you. Something that's a big part of your life that is incredibly similar.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just, this maybe the most stressful part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you have to have a friend that you can like talk about waxing with.
Oh yeah.
And like sexy that friend, times. Like sex and waxing. Yeah. They may not be the same friend, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to expect everything out of one friend.
Right.
So have as many as you feel comfortable with that you can like keep up with.
Real talks though.
Yes.
You gotta be like, able to real talk.
Sit down and be like, what's going on? I wanna know, yep, about what that post was about. I wanna know about, you know, you mentioned something that you and, you know, your spouse or husband were having a hard time.
Being judgy, too. I don't know. I think it's interesting, like, women, sometimes you kind of compete with each other. And some people more than others. And, you know, I don't know. Like, we tend to cut each other down instead of supporting overall.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't operate that way. Like, that's really hard to handle and deal with. But, like, instead of celebrating each other's success overall, I think we tend to minimize that instead, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of it's based on insecurity,
yes,
or jealousy. So it is about being in a place where you can feel like you can be a good friend,
mm-hmm,
in order to have a good friend.
Right.
It's very much like that, you know, the checks and balances, trust is built, like we were saying, and that you can't just go into it and expect that person to just be there that day. Because you could arrive, and let's say if you got together, and then the other person is like, my dad's dying. Or something,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a fluidity in there. There's a super strong sense of give and take. And then there's also like a complete selflessness,
yeah,
that has to happen between friendships, when you can like easily identify, oh shit, she's having a harder time than me.
Yeah.
I need to like back off and figure this stuff out with someone else, or, you know.
It's interesting. No? I think, like, I learned kind of real early on, middle school was hard. Like, seventh grade was an amazing year for me.
Seventh grade?
Yeah, I peaked in seventh grade, I'm pretty sure. It was really fun. I had a lot of friends. It was, like, great, you know?
Yeah.
But then eighth grade was the worst.
Now, like, did you switch schools between those times?
Mm-mm. Okay. I went to the same school, yep. I mean, it was so bad for me that I even considered, like, I begged my mom to let me switch schools, which she didn't, but
oh my god,
I begged. And I wasn't like bullied or anything like that, but like all my friends that I had basically like just totally dropped me, like completely, because
happened to all of us,
yeah,
at one point, so I don't want to.
No, absolutely it has. And I think that it makes you, I mean, especially like at that time, but it's interesting how that has like mimicked itself like over life,
yeah,
and especially into adulthood. But
sad.
Yeah, in seventh grade, I had this boyfriend.
Oh my gosh. What was his name?
Brian Plemons. I talk about him all the time in my comedy still. Yeah. sorry, Brian. poor guy.
And you're welcome.
He lives in Phoenix. Yeah. And he decided he didn't want to date me anymore. And it was like his little group of boyfriends and my little group of girlfriends. Like, we'd all hang out all the time. So when that happened, then since the boys, like, and everyone used to come to my house. And then once everyone stopped coming to my house, then the girls didn't want to be friends with me anymore because they wanted to hang out with the boys. And so I remember this, like, rushing. It was, and it's such a dumb thing. But at that time, you know, I was student council president, and then I had no friends, and no one would sit with me at lunch.
Jen,
and I know, I know, but it was like such a learning experience for me. You know, it was good. I think like that's a good thing to have. Now, it's not a good thing at the time, but like in character building, in compassion, in empathy, and all of that stuff. Like, I was never a mean-hearted person, you know, in school and everything, because like you have those own experiences on your own. So like you recognize those things happening with other people. And in high school, I was never that person who, you know, singled people out or treated them that way.
I wasn't either. I was incredibly naive to that kind of stuff.
And I'm glad, like, even I'm so like, you know, you think you know how you were, but you don't really know if that's how you were, like, perceived others, per se.
Yeah.
And I think I've mentioned this before on here, maybe, or I talk about it all the time, because I got a few years ago, I got a Facebook request from a guy I went to high school with who, you know, like, I knew, I still, but we weren't necessarily like friends.
Yeah.
But friendly in high school. And he sent me a message after I accepted his friend request, which he didn't need to do. But he sent me a message and it said, "You were always so nice to me in high school." And I just, like, that really impacted me. Like, I was like, okay, good. Like, it really was how I thought.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And I think, like, that middle school experience is the thing that you're just sensitive to those things. And and even then into adulthood, when you come across people who aren't necessarily good matches for friendship.
That's such a good point. Like, it's like you grow up with people on your street or wherever, and then there's this expectation that you'll continue to be friends in high school or junior high or wherever. And then inevitably the breakups happen, whether or not they're, you know, because like somebody joins the gymnastics team and has like a new set of friends from that. And then it becomes about like frequency.
Or somebody thinks you're not cool enough anymore.
Yeah. And I don't. Yeah. That stuff was always very much above my head. Like, I never felt cool. I have never felt cool. I still don't. Like, I don't know if that's just a thing that you have and thing that you don't have, or what the makeup of feeling cool is. But I was always grateful for friends, and I'm like still not turning them down. You know what I mean? Like, if I find somebody that is like, your stuff is funny, or your stuff is, like it, or whatever, I'm always like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like, it's people that can like say that and it seems like they really do. That's still incredibly flattering to me, you know? And I feel like you're either on that side of the wall or the other. But I, again, like you said, you actually have no idea what the perception is.
Well, and I think too, like, part of growing up and maturing is like from an intimacy standpoint, you know, for me, that has always had kind of always been a challenge. So I, like, in my younger years, 20s, even into my early 30s, like, surrounded myself with like lots and lots of people, because like for me, that was the way that I felt maybe I had value or something, which is so dumb, but you learn these things and then you change them.
Safety in numbers. And you don't have to get too close to anybody. Yes.
Yep. And people make fun of me a lot because, you know, they'll be like, oh, you know, all these people. It's like, well, yeah, but none of them maybe are people that if I needed, I'd still feel really alone, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think there's a lost art of acquaintanceship that, you know what I mean? We kind of could be better at.
Yep.
But also it is when you do know a lot of people or have a lot of exposure, you get tinier, like it gets less and less intimate, and that can be really, really hard, especially if you're, you know, living in your 20s or 30s and don't have a, you know, a significant other or a like a BFF who you do everything with.
Yeah.
It can be incredibly isolating. And I've experienced that over and over where, well, even when I did have, even when I was married, I felt so alone because I think even doubly so because I was married and I was supposed to have someone who was kind of there.
Yeah.
And so that was even more so because like you have this kind of scapegoat or inherent thing, but then when that's not working, it can be, it's really isolating. Yeah.
Have you ever had a breakup with a friend?
I have.
Me too.
I have, but I've never done it in a dramatic way. I've always just like backed off slowly. There was one in particular in the last few years, someone who I had become really close friends with that I think it was because I was in the middle of my divorce that I was kind of hypersensitive to other relationships and I sought out comfort in my friendships. Like I really was able to, you know, identify quickly who I wanted to spend more time with because of being so uncomfortable in this huge part of my life. And I remember it was sort of like private, mostly private things or things that I was like, I didn't like the way that felt.
Yeah.
But then one time in particular, she humiliated me in a room full of other women. And it was very direct and it was incredibly hurtful. And like by other people's accounts as well. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
They came back, called me later, said something the next day, emailed me. Like I heard from every single person in that
room. Wow.
That how like it changed the way they felt about her and it changed the way what they knew about our friendship. Yep. And that alone was enough to, and I had all my own feelings about it for sure, but I have this weird thing where if I experience something humiliating or embarrassing, I sort it out much, much later. Is that true?
Yeah.
I think that's true of a lot of people. Like you sort it out when you're kind of ready to. Yep. And so in that moment, you're just like, you just feel the way you feel. But all these things started coming in right away. So I was sort of forced to look at it sooner, I think. And this story is so funny because you say it out loud and you're just like, that's ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, what were you thinking even? But you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
And then, and so I just stopped saying yes to invitations. And the weirdest thing was, is that she still kept pursuing me as a friend. And I was just like, that is so backwards. Like, why would you feel someone, like feel negative thoughts towards someone that much that you would humiliate them in a room full of people and then still want to hang out with them? And I was like, you know what? I don't care. I just don't want to be around that kind of person.
Yep.
Especially in this time where it's like, I really need supportive and comforting friendships.
So, supportive and comforting friendships. Amen to that. Like it's, and it's a two-way street. That's my big thing. It's a two-way street. And it's fluid, like you mentioned. You know, sometimes you need 70% and I need 30%. And I'm going to give you that. And then at other times it's going to switch. And like, that's how it goes. Like it is not very one-sided. And that my therapist.
we talk about this. Everybody needs a good therapist.
We talk about this a lot. In
some point of their lives.
And one thing that has really resonated with me and kind of in my experience, why I'm able to sort of just let it go. Little Frozen reference for everybody right there. amen. Adina Menzel.
Let's watch it again. It's so good.
Is this, when you're on your way to being a healthy person or, you know, you realize the patterns that you repeat. And for me, growing up, I had to overfunction for certain people in my life. Like that was the way that I got to feel seen or whatever, right?
Yeah, coped.
Yep. And I would do that with friends. I'd still do this with friends, like taking care of or whatever, overfunctioning. Yes. And the minute that you stop doing that for those people is the minute that they don't want to be friends with you anymore because you're not doing the things that they need you to do. And it's unhealthy because even when you're overfunctioning, you're not getting, I'm not getting anything back in those friendships. So the minute I stop, I have stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. And I recognize when I'm doing that and it's fascinating to me how transparent those relationships become.
I am nodding furiously in that moment right now. Just, I know you
and
can't
it's amazing.
Me.
Yeah. Because like friendship, you know, it can be tough. Friendship can be tough. You go through things and like it's marriage is tough. Like all these things, like it can be, but it also should be easy. It should be easy to be friends with someone, and it should be easy to want to be there to support your friends, and it should be easy to feel supported by your friends.
Yes.
And when those things are not easy, then that is not
a friendship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kind of had like my first experience as an adult with that in college. You know, the first time you really pick your friends based on commonalities and you know, not proximity.
Right.
And, I remember I lived next door. We lived in this apartment building. I lived next door to my good group of girlfriends. They all had an apartment together. I had moved in with this group of guys. It was really fun. It was sort of like the Redstones, like the, I called it the Cosby Show building because it's what it looked like 227.
The
all
row
that.
Houses.
Yeah. And we started dating. And so he was real familiar with these girls. And he said to me one day, we were all hanging out, and he goes, "Why are you friends with them?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" Because we had been friends, you know? And he goes, they never listen to anything that you say. Like, anytime you start talking, they just immediately redirect talking to somebody else. He's like, they don't even...
Wow. So he saw that.
He saw it. And I that was really interesting because it made me kind of start to notice. And, like, they, you know, they weren't... They made me... doubt myself quite a bit and, you know, have feelings about things that I was doing, judgy, real judgy.
Yeah,
and,
but you know what you know.
You know what you know. And after maybe a year or two after that, I finally was like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
And I, it's been, what, 15, 12 years or so of us not being friends, and like my life exponentially changed for the better the minute that drama was cut out, you know? And like they all still have each other. That's great, you know? But like, I feel like my life is much more richer because of that. And, you know, like none of us are Facebook friends. Like none of us are.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like I have no remorse or sadness about that. It's like finding people that value you, that you value, like on an equal, like you both bring something to the table. If you don't both bring something to the table, like that's just not cool. And
that's the definition. I mean, you're not related to these people.
Right.
If you don't have like, you know, if you brought together by common interest, but then like there's always like a few friends like within a bigger group that you're closer with.
Yeah.
Or something like that's it. That's the definition of friendship, is that give and take, the thoughtfulness, the I know what she likes, I know what she prefers. I'm not going to try and force her into situations that,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, you know that a friend doesn't like big parties and you're like, but will you just come to this with me? Like once in a while, fine.
Totally.
Like get them out of there. But like, that's the kind of thing that defines your friendship. Like how does that other person make you feel day to day?
Yeah. I think about like my very best friend who, you know, we met in the workplace 10 years ago. Like I was starting this job, she was leaving it. We just basically like two ships in the night.
Aww.
And somehow she was like, I think we should be friends. And we just started hanging out. And I'm so thankful. Like we are very different people. Like we call each other Oprah and Gail, definitely.
Aww.
But like she's not into comedy. And like I remember one time I was like, oh my God, Louis C.K. is coming to town. Do you want to go? And she's like, who's that?
Right.
Like she really has, you know, but she always will come and support me at my shows and stuff. And like just like the amount of real talks that we've had in life, you know, I'm so thankful for. Like she's kind of one of few that I actually listen to, like from an advice standpoint or from a... She's a very thoughtful, caring person. And I know like for her, like I force her to have like real talks sometimes. That's not always something that she's super comfortable with. But like we do that for each other, you know, and we don't always
taking
like
the risk.
Yeah. Like we don't always see each other that as much as we would like to. But if there's ever issues in our friendship, like we talk about it. And that's I just think that's
every relationship, like
no one gets mad. That's the other part. It's like to actually just have like be able to say, all right, I feel this. I feel, you know, like you're doing these things and I don't, it makes me feel this way and whatever. And we can both be accountable for the things that we do and say or what our intentions are. Like, I just appreciate that so much because she's like a family, you know, it's like unconditional.
Yeah.
So to have that and know that is, God, can we all just be a little nicer?
Well, and I think you hit on a good, you know, an important subject of like how you like become friends with someone. If it's not just like you're sitting next to them and you live next door to them.
Yep.
You, and it's like adult friendships are really tricky that way. And I've talked about this quite a bit in my, in the last 4 or 5 years, because it is about like, you know, I'm friends with my neighbors in the summer, you know, but I'm not like, we're not Facebook friends. We don't have each other's phone numbers necessarily, even like a couple, but that kind of thing where it's just like proximity stuff. And then, and that it should be okay to not have to have every friendship look the same as.
Oh my God, how much work would it be if you had to keep up?
Yeah, your standard friendships. Like I would be broke and I would be exhausted because it's like going out more and sleeping less and all those things. But like how. You know, we had talked about the way that you just say like, hey, you know, do you want to be friends? Like, and our, even like you and I becoming friends, you know, we had known each other for a while. Like I knew I liked the way that you talked and
ditto
act, you know what I mean? Aw. And then you think like, how can I, you know, oh my God, one of my favorite tweets of all time is some days I just make like people I don't know into friends, like a fucking wizard. Like people I don't like strangers into friends, like a fucking wizard. Like it is a little bit of wizardry, you know? And I feel like just being like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? Or do you want to, or, you know, like the circumstances come together where you're able to do that, because it's also weird before that. So my point is that there's no rite of passage for friendship like there is for dating.
Right.
Like if you want to date someone, you ask them to go out on a date, but there's no like one thing. So I remember when I wanted to have you as my friend, I had seen that you were going to one thing on Facebook. And then I thought, you know what? I bet she's going to that other thing too, because I knew we had people in common. And then it was two things on the same night. And I was like, I'm going to ask Jen Shaw if she wants to go with me to these two things, because the advantage of having social media is that you can see kind of like if people have RSVP'd to stuff. There's also a disadvantage because we're learning how to be friends outside of this, but there that came to my advantage that night, or
that was
used it to my advantage. I was like, hey, she's going to that birthday thing, and then seems like she's also going to this brewery opening, so why don't I ask her if she wants to go in the same car as me to these things.
It was our first friend date.
It was, but we knew we were kind of already friends and that we got each other before that, but
that's, we had good talks that day. I remember
we did. We just got right to it. And that's the other thing is like I
you also were exposed to my road rage.
I was. And I accept that. It was sort of like the other day when I saw you, I walked into brunch and I was like, I was comforted by the fact that I know you are always 10 to 20 minutes late everywhere. Like, it is not a disadvantage. It is a thing I know about you now.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's a curse.
It's fine. It's
just
like
who I am.
I'm the same. Yeah. Like maybe like I have this thing where I'm slow to warm up.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, like, I'm not, when you get here, I may or may not be ready for you to arrive. Yep. And so it's like, and I no longer fake it.
Yep. So, I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm just like I just got off the phone with the boy's dad, or something was tricky. Or maybe like today I was feeling really bad last night. I was up and like, I just needed a, like, I'm slow to warm and, in person, I think sometimes. And that can be a little bit like, you know, that thing where your friends are like, the people that aren't really your friends are like, what's going on with you? Like, if you're not like on and perfect and exactly, you know, that thing that happens.
Yes.
And it's just like, you know what? I just am who I am right now in this moment. And like,
and I didn't think anything of it. Like, this is, I mean, aside from that, I wanted you to not feel bad, but
until
like,
you pointed it out.
But like, it's not even like, it's just being real.
Yeah. So if you find someone that you know what I mean? Yes. Like, take the risk and be like, hey, do you want to hang out at that thing? Like that, I guess that could be the rite of passage.
Yeah.
It's like finding a common thing and be like, hey, do you want to go to that? I know you like.
I love that.
Right? Like most people only have like 1 to 5 things that they're really into.
Yep.
Right? Like they're really into beer, or they're like really into cider, or they're really into cheeseburgers.
Yep.
Or
movies.
Movies, yeah. And then you'd be like, hey, do you want to go? And that's yep. that's all you have to do. You don't have to identify 20 things or be anyone you're not. You just be like, hey, I dig your stuff. Do you want to do it together sometime?
Yeah. Agreed. You know what? Like, really cute story. And this was like, I think this is so neat. Lauren Anderson. Do you know Lauren? Really, she's a Brave New Workshop main stage.
Oh, okay.
Red hair, hilarious. Like, just, she takes over every single show she's in because she's just yeah. so good. And, talented comedian in town.
You know who is also like that? I just want to say because it made me
yeah.
my sister. She's a total yeah. she's an actress and a total scene stealer.
Like just
and show stealer.
Yep. Love
she's
it.
She's funny. She has amazing timing. So I just want yep, it just made me I think of that. Like that sounds like my sister. Yep.
So I have admired Lauren and her work for years and years and years. Like literally. Like I would go to every single Brave New Workshop show and I'd just be like, oh,
just but you liked her stuff.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, we have tons of mutual friends, like, just being in town. And we knew of each other, but we weren't, like, we had never socially kind of blended that way. And so mutual friend Maddie Gibba, also very talented, lovely
oh,
gal.
Man, she is just all heart.
Yeah, that so Maddie she was Gibba. Leaving to move to New York a couple years ago. And so we had this little, like, going away happy hour for her. It was a small group of people. I was there. Lauren was also there. And it was kind of the first time that we had sort of like been socially in a small group like that where we had real conversations or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And there was a couple other people there. And then, about a week after that, like I got a little Facebook message from Lauren that literally said, hi, Jen. I've never done this before. But you, like Ellie, you know, and Maddie Gibbon just have such nice things to say about you. And it was fun hanging out with you the other night. And I just really think that we should be friends. So do you want to be my friend? Let's go see a movie God. Or let's go whatever. And I, like, it was such a day maker to get. I was like, oh my God, like, this is so awesome. Cause I was like, Lauren Anderson, you just made all my dreams come true. Like, I've admired you for years and years.
Yeah.
And we're buddies and I love her. And I just like, I think that was just, she goes, I never do stuff like that. Like, I just, you know, and I was like, I'm so glad that you did.
Yeah.
And you know, like that just, I think was, points to what you said too, about like, how do you become friends with someone? Sometimes you just actually have to step out and be like,
yeah.
you're going to be my friend now. Like, I've decided we're going to be friends.
Yeah. And isn't it nobody would
so
ever
flattering.
Be sad to yeah. hear that.
Like, so flattering. And like, we go to see movies together and just have a blast hanging out. And I love that. So I think you should never be afraid to just do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Step and out just and say it.
Yeah. I mean, if someone seems generally interested and it's, mm-hmm. and you know, what's really been funny is like being, so when I was married, I didn't have a lot of guy friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no longer married. I haven't been for, you know, 5 years or more. And I really missed my guy friends.
Yeah.
And but then I was single for a while, so it wasn't like I think that there's that weird pocket of like becoming friends with men too. I know we're talking mostly about becoming friends with women, but you know what I found is that people that pursued me to like go on a date that I really, really liked and admired, but I couldn't say yes for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I have converted a number of them into
That's
friends.
That's awesome.
And it's like, well, right, attraction is attraction.
Yeah.
Whether or not you end up sleeping with them is another story altogether.
Wah, wah.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've been like, you know, I have that thing and it's like, well, when I was married, that was such a taboo thing that I had to like kind of rework that muscle and figure it out. And then some of these guys have become like
besties.
Great friends, which I'm not outing anybody or yeah. anything. I'm not trying to, but it's like that has, because male friendships too are so valuable
yeah,
in like the information you give and receive and what you have access to. And that can be like yeah. as, you know what I mean?
I need more guy friends. I think sometimes it's hard to be friends with the opposite sex. Well, okay.
Sometimes when they have significant others, it can be hard too.
Yeah.
They don't like others. You. Yep. Yeah.
I had one friend that was a male friend. We were completely platonic. Like, we used to go to weddings with each other.
Yeah.
Like it was great. Cause like, if it was my friend getting married, like I covered the expenses. If it was his friend getting married, he covered it. That was our deal.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it was great. We always slept in the same bed, but I always put like a wall of pillows between us. I was like, this is the buffer, you know. Aww. But it was like this level of comfort we had, yeah, with each other that like, if you were in a relationship, I would want that, but no sexual at all, like none.
Yeah.
But we had a blast together and it was so fun. And yeah, he started dating a gal and just,
oh yeah,
it you was told me downhill about this. From there. But
that can be really, really, yeah, hard.
But also, like, you know, they say, can men and women really be friends? I think it's interesting because does someone always want to like step it up with the other? My brain doesn't think that way, so like I always have a hard time. I'm like people be like, oh, they're flirting with you, but I have no concept of that whatsoever.
Ah.
So I always think like, oh, everyone, we're just buddies, like friends, everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like when Harry met Sally, I always think of this, you, yeah, know, like, can men and women be friends? Can they?
Well, the thing is that it doesn't look like our female friendships.
Yeah.
So we don't, it's not like we can put it into a box. Like, yeah, just because it's not like that friendship doesn't mean, not like my female friendships doesn't mean that it's not as strong. Because in the spirit of everything being more fluid.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can have an incidental friend that is as strong of a friendship as someone I see twice a week. I found that sometimes that totally. Separation causes there to be more sharing, more vulnerability, more like honesty, because there isn't the in-person stuff. And I mean, it's a working theory, yeah, right? But
I do like having guy friends, though. The perspective is, especially from a dating perspective too, like I'm always like, okay, am I being crazy in this situation? Like,
yeah,
this is what I think, this is what, and they'll be like, I know, yeah, you're not crazy. Being crazy. Yeah. Like last night I was with one of my guy friends and I was like, this dating situation, I was like, all right, here's what I think. If he really wants to hang out with me, he would hang out with me. Am I right? And the guy's like, mm-hmm, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not me overreacting. I'm not trying to read into anything. It's like, people want to hang out with you, they will hang out with you. This guy isn't putting that out there. Like, am I right to think that?
He's
like,
especially men, right, too.
Especially men.
Yeah. Because we, as women, we're more likely to accommodate, and yes, men are looking for something that fits into their current life.
Right.
And that's a complete generalization. So don't take that as 100% true.
Quoted Kate O'Reilly.
Right. Like, yeah, but that is generally how it works. Like, we will fall over backwards to be like, yeah, I can do that night. Although for Thursday nights for 10 years, I've been getting together with the same girlfriend. Yeah. A dude would never do that. He's, yes, like, nope, Thursday nights I have basketball.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's just like, that's one of those dividers that I find to be true most of the, yeah, time.
That's a good point.
You know, and so, and that's why it does work in a lot of ways, because at some point you have to be like, this is my life, and things that fit into it naturally, organically, are good. Things, yeah, that are icing on the cake, if you have most of your general flow figured out, right? Like what, yeah, you prefer to do on nights and when you work out and, you know, your job hours, obviously, like the things that are basics. And then it's like things that fit in naturally without a ton of work.
Yeah.
If you're being reasonably accommodating, those are good things, because if everybody knows what their life looks already, you get to be a couple and then everything is disjointed, yeah, and unmatched. That's when you're like, oh shit, why was I so accommodating? Because this actually doesn't fit into my yep, life. So I just feel like it's the male approach to being sort of semi non-accommodating, which isn't negative, is a better approach.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when we fall over backwards to allow people into our lives and like interrupt everything, then we get back to the natural flow of things. It can be really jarring.
Yeah.
So when I started dating Kyle, I was really, I was in a place where I thought probably forever it was going to be me and the boys and the business. You know, like I just wasn't in that space at all. And it was like, I kind of was just, you know, like, ah. And then one of my friends said, you know, you could use something sweet right now. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And she said, as long as you're honest with him and make sure that, you know what I mean? And this is a good story for everyone, yeah, not just our personal story, but it's like, just be honest and show up when you can and try and see if that's a match.
Yeah.
Because if you work too hard at it, it's actually not inherently.
Well, that's a good rule of relationships across the board.
It totally is. Yeah, it totally is.
It really is.
I guess so. I don't know. We did get on a little bit of a
male friendships and relationships. Yeah. But I think there's some synergy like across the across the board. It's just I don't know. And I'm a big believer too in like it's not necessarily your fault. Like I think I used to feel real guilty about things if relationships didn't work out, friendships or whatever, like it was something I did or what's
yeah,
the common denominator,
that's where I was
like
going.
It's me and a lot of times it's not. I mean, I can be accountable for my actions and that's it. I can't control other people and what they choose to do or believe.
Like, what they need at that time.
Yep. And at some point you just have to be like, it's not my deal and let it go. Like,
yeah.
Just truly in dating, in friendships, in
jobs,
marriages,
life.
And jobs and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I'm glad that I'm at that point because holy shit.
Yeah.
Imagine the amount of energy you'd spend scouring yourself and your own introspection. Like,
well, and these breakups lead us to better places of
they really do.
Being able to more easily identify even personality types that are likely to be dramatic and avoiding them.
Oh my God.
Right?
And I was thinking about this like recently and, you know, especially in like in an artist type world, mm-hmm. a lot of the drama that I have had in my life like in the last few years is that in a certain specific group of people. And I think like, wow, isn't that interesting? Because outside of that, I don't have any of it. None of it. No,
right.
No drama. And I was like, okay, well, there you go. You know?
And really, you can only change what you're doing.
Yep.
At the end of the day. Like you can be a better identifier. You can get out faster. You can make sure to not react dramatically.
Overfunction.
Or sweeping. Yeah, I mean,
I love when we were texting last week and I said like I'm still learning and you were like me too. Like that was just really cool that we're still open to like looking at ourselves, you know? And that's the other thing. If you can like looking at yourself and being self-aware of how you're handling issues or drama or conflict or people or relationships in your life, like you're already ahead of the game. I feel like it's
yep.
the people who are constantly blaming the other person. That's a huge red flag and a huge issue.
Yeah.
You can't take accountability and responsibility for what you've brought.
Or even in situations you're not involved in and seeing that person, how they react to things.
Yeah.
Is a direct representation of how they would react if you guys were in that same situation together.
Yeah.
You know, like seeing how they react to something at work. Like if something goes wrong at work, do they want to immediately quit? Like that's probably not a great sign.
Right.
Right. Of yep. like, so, I don't know.
Yep.
It's like yep. if you see them like processing and asking questions and being like, why is this going to be what it's like? And or they're bouncing it off a few people, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Asking their mom, asking their friend, asking whomever. Like, then you're like, okay, I see that they, right?
Or instead of someone who just bails right away.
Oh, yeah. Or gossips. Like, even,
yeah.
you know, people that gossip are, and not in a, you know what I mean? Like, in a way that's, like, constant.
Yeah, because there's one thing where you have to talk to your friends and be like, oh, my God, this happened. This is the thing I'm dealing with right now. This situation.
She's living with me because they broke up.
Yeah.
Those kind of like
yeah, but
where it affects your stuff too.
Yeah.
But like that constant, like, mm-hmm. you know, that's the first thing they say is, oh my God, did you hear about?
Right.
It's like, that's not a behavior that is, that I think is really a fantastic personality trait in a
right.
friend.
Right. Right.
Like, I just think it's about perfection, right? It's about like doing things exactly right, and gossiping is a response to like people being flawed.
Mm, so which like, we all are.
I know.
But also at the same token on that, like as a human, I feel like if you think that people don't talk about you, good luck.
Oh my God, totally.
Because if you're gonna take that personally, like I don't. I think it's actually kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Like people totally. Wanna say shit about me or whatever, like great. Like it doesn't bother me one bit. It really doesn't because for one, it's like, I know who I am. I'm comfortable and confident in the person that I am. But also, I'm like, why are you spending so much time on me? Like, that's amazing.
Right. Like, if you think I'm so flawed.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Right.
And when people get real upset about people talking about them, it's like, for one, everyone talks about everybody. That's just a thing. I really do believe people just do. And it's just a thing you have to accept. We're humans. This is the deal. Whether it's positive or negative or whatever, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
And if you, the minute you start to take that personally, I feel like your life gets real mucked up real fast. And so if you just can be like, well, it is what it is. Like, who cares? Then you don't get your undies in a bundle about dumb shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're just participating.
Yep.
Yep.
In giving the power.
So.
I love it.
Yeah. Fluidity. What it means to be a friend.
You're a good friend, by the way.
Rites of passage. Aw, so are you.
You really are.
Yeah. It's been fun to figure that out, like, at this age. And, you know, and we started doing this before we had, like, a... I think before we had a fully formed friendship, we started doing the podcast.
Which was really fun.
It was.
Like, to get to know each other better and see how we, our thought processes on things. We align in a lot of ways, which is really fun.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, you know, figuring out as you go and building that trust as you go is so important. And then also, what was I going to say? I'm losing my mind. I lost my train of thought there. Like, making sure that there is, like, that back and forth is mostly in balance. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't try too hard, right? Because you've got other stuff. You've got your job. You've got your other friendships. You've got your family and et cetera. But, like, always, like, checking in to make sure that you're, you know what I mean? Like, you remember, you know, even basic things like remembering when you have plans.
Yep.
Being in a space where you can not bail on those plans.
Yeah,
like making sure, you know what I mean? Making sure your week is, because we all have those friends that bail on everything. And then you're just like,
done.
So irritated to, you know, be like, well, you know what? Get your shit together, because this actually matters.
Yep.
Like, showing up to things you say you're going to show up to matters. Mm-hmm. And there's an epidemic of bailing right now because we're all taking in a little bit too much.
Yep.
I feel like. So that's a part of it. It's like making sure that you make the plans you remember, and then that you, like, when you get there, or if you get there, mm-hmm. or like you wake up that morning and you're like, oh my God, it's all just too much. Like, once in a while, yes. I mean, that's going to happen where you're like, you wake up and you're sick. You wake up and A, B, or C happened. But if you do that twice, like, I'm not pursuing you as a friend anymore. Two, three times, like,
done.
You don't get anything from me. You do not get to text me and ask me for special things that, or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, out of the blue.
I so agree.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that it gets lost. Like, it's one-sided at that point where people, you know, they do the bailing, and then they also...
And they need you, then.
And then they also request things from you without any knowledge of, like, having it be really out of balance.
Right.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I just got to that realization as we were talking about it.
I think we're doing good, though. I think, like, we're doing good in how we decide who gets to have the goodies in our life. Like,
yeah.
I think that's is a, you know, a huge learning process for me. And I finally feel like, you know, I have a few good friends. That's all I need, you know, like,
the
legit real. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not, I don't need to be out all the time, be seen or any of that shit. Like, I just don't, it's not a priority for me anymore. And like, I don't care if people don't like me. Like, I mean, I just try to be who I am, like, in a genuine person. And if, you know, it's not a I don't care what people think kind of situation. Like, I treat people well, and I but if you don't like me when I'm doing that, like, that's that's you, not me.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up.
Let's do
it. We wanted to tell you, we have an XOXO JK Facebook page.
We made it in 2015.
Which is brand new. And we will use it to post episodes. And also, we will use it to collect your thoughts and input and comments on topics we're talking about, and then share them on the show.
Yeah.
So we want to say thank you to everyone that's been listening, and all your feedback and the random feedback on Twitter, like someone I don't know saying they love the show. It's like,
so cool.
It means so much to us. And you probably don't know how much it means.
Seriously, like, I always, like, I think we have like 7 listeners now. Like, that is so cool.
Oh, stop it. So seek out our Facebook page. We will link up to it in the show notes as well. And we'll post relevant articles and also take your comments. We can't wait to have this
stuff that we've talked about
build into more of a community, because we keep hearing that people think that they're sitting here talking with us and they want to have,
we're all best friends,
a chance to input. And I love that so much. Like, if we set out to do anything, it's create more feelings of community. Yep. So thanks for again for listening. And we think you're the best.
We really do. This is Jen, and you can find me on Twitter at Jen Schall or on the internet at jenschall.com.
And this is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter, I am Clever Kate. You can find this podcast at mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
XOXO.
JK.